Welcome to our Easter weekend. Good morning. One more time, good morning. It is so good to be here. My name is Sean. I'm the senior pastor of the church here. I welcome each and every single one of you. If you are here for the first time, if you are here for a couple of times, we welcome you to this place, all right? So we have yesterday and today, we have these two weekend services that we welcome different ones to visit and to find the community here, all right? So, it's a big weekend. It's a special weekend. Say the word special. It's a special weekend for Christians all over the world. Billions, in fact, one-third of the world population is celebrating Easter, because Easter is a key celebration of our Christian faith. Just now, the song speaks about a faith, right? Speaks about this faith, and Easter is a key celebration of this faith. You know, a quick Google search. If you were to type in, how many faith are there in the world today, will result to an astonishing 4,200 different faiths in the world today. But the top five faiths in the world will account to about 75 to 80% of the world's population, right? So in a general sense, can I have a little bit of light so that I can see? In a general sense, faith means to trust. Say to trust. Say to believe in. And faith is to trust and to believe in on something or an experience or a tradition. You know, myself, I didn't come from a Christian background. So growing up, faith was a very foreign topic. You know, at home, we don't really talk about faith that much. Okay, and I'm sure it's very strange if you have been born in a Christian family. I'm sure faith is a conversation. Faith is something common that you talk about growing up. But for me, faith is a foreign thing. And I somehow believe that there is someone out there. Okay, I somewhat believe that there is this God out there who I do not know. I wasn't sure. But I envy friends who have somehow had this thing called faith figured out. And I sort of noticed there's something different about them, even though they're going through high school, the same journey of life that I was going through, but somehow, because they have faith, it was different. So my faith growing up, or my lack of faith growing up, was based upon my experiences, based upon what I read here and there, what I encounter, and my conversation with different ones. So as we celebrate this Christian faith, as we celebrate Easter, this faith is not built upon all these things. Our Christian faith is not built upon a moral code. It is not built upon a philosophy. Some years back, when I was a new Christian, this was probably more than 20 years ago, when I was a new Christian, my cousin who was studying abroad, and she came back and we met up, and she found out that I was a young Christian, and she was talking to me. And she said, you know, Christianity is a very powerful philosophy, she said. You know, the message of love is very powerful. Well, Christian faith is not built upon a philosophy. It is not built upon a good teaching, a set of rules, whether it's a myth or a legend. I was a bivocational pastor for many years, and one of the conversations I will never forget is with one of my colleagues while waiting for a client meeting. We were having coffee. And this is someone who is doing very well in his career. He was in his late 30s. And he asked me, Sean, Christianity, this person named Jesus, is he a myth? Or is he a legend? Or is he a real person? Okay? So this faith is not built upon a myth or a legend. This faith is not built upon a set of good values. It is not built upon a feeling. It is not built upon a tradition even. It is not built upon a revelation or enlightenment of someone. It is not built upon a set of mystic element. This faith is built upon one thing, a factual historical event, which is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened more than 2,000 plus years ago. Okay, that's the beginning of the Christian faith. That is the beginning that led to what we have today. This event, okay, this death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the reason why we have the Bible that we have today. See, our Christian faith is not built upon the Bible in that sense, but because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have
the Bible that we have today. Charles Spurgeon said this: the resurrection is a fact. Say a fact. Better attested than any event recorded in history, whether ancient or modern. So he was speaking about the hundreds of eyewitnesses that was around to saw to witness the resurrection. He was speaking about the numerous archaeological find. He was speaking about the numerous historian, Jewish historian, Roman historian, Greek historian that speaks about this big event that happened. Billy Graham, one of the greatest modern evangelists, he said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in human history. So if someone ever asks you, how did Christian faith start? It started from the very first Easter, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said it this way. He wrote this 20 years after Jesus Christ died and rose again. And he wrote this. Let me read to you. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." Say, first importance. Okay, so in our Christian faith, this is the first and most important. All other things comes next. "What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture," which means his death and resurrection, it is not something out of the blue. It has been planned, it has been predicted, and it has been provided by God since the beginning. "He was buried and he was raised on the third day," again, "in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared." Say, he appeared. So he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom who are still alive at that time. So Paul was explaining to us the gospel, okay, which is the good news. Paul was explaining to us the very first message of the Christian world. They didn't have message series about how to overcome anxiety or how to be a good parent. Their message every single day and every single weekend was Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And because of that, now our sins are forgiven and we are a new creation. That was the first gospel, the first message, okay? Now, we only can appreciate the gospel, the good news, if we know what's the bad news. Okay, we have a church member in our midst, and I gotten their permission to share this story. His name is Jonathan, and he often travels for work in different parts of the world. Travels to Manila, he travels to the US, Singapore, and whatnot. So, if I were to tell you, Jonathan has landed in KLIA Airport, you would have been, okay, so what? Okay, what's the big deal? He landed. But if I were to tell you that he was on his way back from US for work about a month ago, and he had a stopover in Doha, and he was stranded because that's where the war broke out in the Middle East. Suddenly, all the flights were canceled. Suddenly, there was uncertainty, and suddenly, they were ushered into a hotel, not knowing what's next. And for the next few days, no flights. And for the next few days, I think it was the second or the third night, he woke up with a loud hotel siren in his place, asking them emergency would to go down. And they have been reading for the past few days missiles and anti-missiles that is flying through the air. And from his hotel room, he could see not fireworks that we saw during New Year's, but he saw missiles and anti-missiles bombing in the air. And as he did the research, he found out that the missiles were going at 8,000 kilometers per hour, and the anti-missiles were going at 7,000 kilometers per hour. So when the two things collided, it then produced a sonic boom. It produced this shock wave that was so powerful that it shook, that he could even feel it kilometers away, that the glass of the hotel window would shake. And that was a scary moment as they went down, as they attend the briefing, not knowing what to do next. And he says, for the first time in his life, he sends a clear and present danger, not knowing what to do. And he was stranded there for 11 days. Can you imagine the anxiety of his family? Can you imagine the anxiety of his family, the wife, the son? And finally, there was a way out, and finally they were able to onboard into a plane, and they flew to Korea, and from Korea they flew back to KLIA. So when the wife received news that John is on the way back, and when we received news from the family, taking a picture, it says, John has landed in KLIA. Now, that's good news, because we knew the danger that he was in. Okay, it was so good news that the wife and the kid, normally they would not pick him up from the airport one. Okay, normally he has to go to the Grab, take a train to KL Central, take a Grab. But that day, even though it's wee early in the morning, the wife and the son was there welcoming home, because it was good news. It was rejoicing, there was relief, there was good news, because we knew the danger, we knew the bad news that he was going through. In the same way, the gospel is good news, but it is only like, what's the good news if we do not know the bad news? That we are indeed lost in our sins, right? Christ died for our sins. That we are subject for eternal damnation. We are subject for eternal punishment for the sins in our hearts and the sins of our lives. But because out of God's love and God's mercy and His grace, He died on our behalf. He did not just die, but He defeated death when He rose again on the third day. As you read the Gospel, Mark chapter 16, it says the two women, the two Marys, on the third day went to the tomb. They wanted to grieve. They wanted to worship. They went to the tomb. And they were shocked to find that the tomb was empty. And there was an angel that speak to them and says, do not be saddened, because Jesus Christ is not here. He has risen. And now go and tell the rest of them. The good news, when we truly know the bad news. So the question you might ask, but Sean, that happened 2,000 years ago. What does it have to do with us today? How does it affect our lives today? And with that, we look at 1 Peter. Okay, you remember that Peter was one of the first few that Jesus appeared to. Okay, Cephas, Peter. And Jesus appeared to many people in that 40 days. I think he had 9 to 10 appearances, some to the disciples, some to 3 of them, some to a group of them, one time to 120 people, and one time to 500 people, which is slightly less than the group here. I think we probably have about 600 people here. So can you imagine if all of us witness something and all of us witness something and we go and tell people, that was the beginning of that Christian faith. In fact, the Roman government at that time, they were so shaken by this uncertainty. They were trying to suppress the spread of this good news. They were trying to suppress because there was people, there was chaos, and they couldn't have that chaos. They want to maintain control. So what did they do? They began to cook up a lie to say that the disciples stole the body. And they went on a manhunt to try to dig up and to find the body of Jesus Christ. Because obviously the Roman, they did not believe that Jesus rose again. But they could not find the body. And the Christian faith continues to grow and to spread. And that's the reason why today we are celebrating. So how does it happen? How does it affect our lives today? So Peter says, okay, let me read. Peter says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he praising? Again, because he knows the bad news. He was praising God for the good news. He says, in his great mercy, say great mercy. Mercy is receiving something that we do not deserve. Okay, receiving the good things we do not deserve. So in God's mercy, He has given us new birth. Say new birth. This is a spiritual birth. Into a living hope. Say living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not through our good works. Not through our spirituality. Not through our come to church 7 days a week. Not through the charitable works that we have done. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, religion would teach us to save ourselves. Right? Religion is about saving ourselves. Religion is about doing good works to earn the merit and to earn the mercies of God. But here it says that because of what Jesus has done, we are being born into a living hope from the dead and into an inheritance. Say inheritance. that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Okay, so Peter is saying, because of what Christ has done, we are born into the living hope and also into an inheritance in the future that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, inheritance is something that we do not earn for. Inheritance is something that we are born into a family, and when someone passed away, we receive that inheritance that is given to us because we are in that family, right? And Peter says that this inheritance is so great that he couldn't even describe it, but he can describe what that is not. He says, this inheritance will never perish, will never spoil, or will never fade. You know, I think about nothing in this world fit that criteria, right? It will perish, it will spoil, it will fade, it will deteriorate, it will decay. We take care of our body, right? We diet, we go to the gym, we try to rest well, we try to take different supplements so that we can take care of our body. But we all know that our body ages. Okay? Our body will fade away. Our body will, over time, degrade. I feel pain in my left knee sometimes, and the pastoral team know that I have a neck and a back problem, although I don't have that many white hair at my age, okay? But I could feel the deterioration of my body, my neck, my back, my energy level. We do not last forever. Relationship, as pure as it sounds, it can be, but it will not last forever. What about money, wealth, accumulation of things? We will never be able to take it to the next life. But Peter is saying, this inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Wow. Okay, this inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So meaning to say, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are two things that you have. One is a living hope for the present, but there is a certainty of the future, that there is this spiritual inheritance that is never perished, never spoiled, never fade, that has been kept in heaven for us. Therefore, it allows us to be able to have the strength to live in the present. You know, present life, there are many different challenges and trials. Correct or not? Or is it just me? How many of you do not go through challenges or trials in life? Raise your hands. I would love to interview you. I would love to have a chat with you and get to know you. And how do you do it? We all know that life is full of trials and challenges. But this fact, knowing what Christ has done for us in the past, with having the certainty of our future, it gives us the strength to live in the present, in the midst of life's challenges and trials. I was talking to a couple in our church. They have been in our church for a long time, more than 20 years. They have allowed me to share their story, Ellen and Jenny. And throughout their journey of life, they share about how through the earlier part of their marriage, relational issues, financial issues, just going through life, there are many ups and downs of life. And last year, okay, end of last year, he was playing pickleball, and he fell, and his wrist was basically sprained and twisted. So he had to go for his treatment. Okay, so pickleball is a dangerous sport. Okay. And in that time, he was going through treatment and he had to kind of take off work and whatnot. Within that same 3 days, his wife met an accident. Okay, the wife was, in a sense, squashed between two lorries, two trucks. It could have been fatal. It could have been very terminal. But by the grace of God, that she was able to call the husband while being trapped in the car, and she felt pain in her back. She felt pain in the car because of the impact. But thank God that God protected her. She was able to call the husband from the car and says, "Where are you?" Very common, right? "Where are you?" Wife called husband, "Where are you?" Okay, but anyways, so he was on the way back from treatment and he heard his wife was involved in an accident, and he was, but instead of, you know, blaming, instead of throwing a pity party, I just have a treatment, my wrist waist, and now my wife is in an accident and a car and everything. Instead of immediately going through all the negative and all the pity party in his mind, both Ellen and Jenny held on to faith. They knew that there is something greater. They knew that there's something that God has won for us. So they went for the checkup. She was admitted to hospital, but thankfully, it was that shock, and they were able to recover within a week. And I asked him, what would have been different? How would you have gone through your trials for the past 20 years of your life without Christ, without the living hope? And his answer is this. He said, Pastor, it's a whole big difference. Number one, he says, the first 3 years of our marriage life, we would have been divorced. Okay? We would have gone through depression. We would have gone through so many of these, but because we have this living hope, it makes the difference. So today, I don't know what trials that you may be going through, but I hope that as believers, if you have put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, I hope that you do not go through trials or challenges in life without the living hope. My wife and I, we have been meeting some people. The challenging situation, there was a divorce situation, there was the same family, the eldest daughter has run away and didn't want to do with anything to do with the mom. And this lady was a fairly new Christian, couple of years, and she was just being water baptized. And there is a difference, because right now she has the living hope that is with her as she journeyed through the painful trials of family strain and brokenness. Peter, he says this, because of that, okay, because of the living hope and the inheritance, in all this you can greatly rejoice. Say the word rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. So, Christian faith, it's strange that even as we go through the trials in life, we can rejoice at the same time because of the living hope, because of the future inheritance. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold. Okay, potentially gold is the, you know, sky high, all-time high because of war. But he says, your faith is even greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, we may think that this praise, glory, and honor is about praising God, giving God the glory and honor. It is not. It is praise, glory, and honor given to us when our faith passes the trials of life. When our faith is being refined, and one day we will meet God in heaven. And because we have stood firm, that even though we go through suffering, even though we go through sickness, even though we go through depression, but because we hold on to that faith, the praise, honor, and glory is given to you. It is Jesus Christ saying to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, Peter saw Jesus, and Peter was telling his audience, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You are filled with that inexpressible, glorious joy, for you are the receiving end of your result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I have this picture that kind of summarizes that verse. What does the past have to do with us today? The past, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are being born again by God's mercy. Born again to do what? Two things. Future. We've been born again into a future inheritance, right? That kept in heaven by God. That will never spoil, never perish, okay? In my heavenly body in the future, I will not have neck pain anymore. Hallelujah. My knee will be great. Hallelujah. In the future, in your glorious resurrected body, all pain, all sicknesses will be gone. Never perish, spoiled, fade, kept in heaven. That's the future. That's the certainty of the future when our time on earth is up. It allows us to have strength to live in the present. Present, a living hope. Right? We sang the song just now, right? We have a living hope. You know, when I do Christian wake and funeral, it is a little bit strange because there is that mixed emotion. Yes, we are grieving, sad, and feeling lost for the death of our loved ones. But at the same time, there is this sense of rejoicing. There is a sense of thankfulness because we know that our loved ones is with God forever. Living hope. Strength to live, rejoicing and grieving at the same time, testing of our faith. Can we read this together? 1, 2, go. Knowing the foundation of the past and the certainty of the future gives us the strength to live in the present. You know, last Friday night, Good Friday night, we had our Easter worship and prayer night. And we prayed for, we contended for healing, we contended for restoration. I think Pastor Teresa led us here and invited different ones to come forward to be prayed for, to contend for healing. And Saturday morning, she received a text from someone who was healed of a condition that the person has, and the person was able to do something that the person couldn't do before. Because Christ has lived and Christ has won the victory for us, it gives us the living hope that we want to rejoice. Okay, we want to rejoice. Faith for the present, greatly rejoice, suffering grief in all kinds of trials, and the testing of our faith. As I bring this to a close, you may ask me, Pastor, how can I activate the living hope in the present? You know, if you have something, you do not activate it, it goes to a waste, right? It goes to a waste. I remember one time, my family and I, we were staying in this hotel, we were having a vacation. And I was told that my arrangement do not come with breakfast. Okay, and we stayed there for 4 days. And on the third day, as we were thinking about breakfast, I went over and I wanted to ask if there were a la carte breakfast to be purchased. And then she checked and she told me, oh, your room came with breakfast. On the third day of my 4-day vacation, I'm like, okay, what do I do? Okay, I did not activate. Okay, you may have told me, you go and scold the person who tell you don't have. But no, I didn't do that. Okay, but it reminds me that sometimes as Christian, we did not activate the living hope in us. We go through life the same way as a person who do not know God, who do not know Christ, who do not know the victory that Christ has won for us. We go through trials of life, not activating the living hope that we have in the present. But how do we do it? It's in the same verse, verse 8. We have not seen Jesus Christ. We love Him. We activate this living hope by loving Jesus, even though we have not seen Him. Some of you here, maybe you have been away from church for a long time, and today a friend invited you, or maybe you felt that, okay, it's Easter, I might as well go to church. I want to invite you to activate this living hope that you have by loving Jesus. To join us. You know, actually today is the start of our series called We Believe. Say, We Believe. And this series, we endeavor to go through these 6-7 weeks of knowing the foundation of what we believe as Christian. And I want to invite you to be on that journey because it's time for us to know what we believe and to know this living hope that we have. So we activate it by loving God. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. Say, believe in Him. We activate our living hope by choosing to believe in Him, by believing in His Word, by believing in His promises, by believing and living, believing that Christ has risen for us. And number 3, we celebrate life with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving end results of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So we activate by doing these 3 things. One is we love God, even though we do not see Him. We love God even though you do not understand the season of life that you may be going through. That the lady that I talk about, the lady that me and my wife was talking to, that even though she is going through a difficult challenges in her marriage and her elder daughter is nowhere to be found, and the daughter will say, don't contact me, once in a while, once every 4 or 5 months, she will call the mom and say, mom, I'm okay, but don't contact me. But she chose to love God regardless. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. Believe in His Word. Believe in what He did for us, and we rejoice in Him even in the midst of trials.